Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But, you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mick Hess, your host for Roving with the Arts here on KSJE 90.9. Please join me every weekday starting at 9 a.m. for the chance to hear full-length, unabridged opera, ballet, symphonic, and chamber music. I'll share news of local concert events that you may be interested in attending, background information about some of the greatest musical compositions ever written. Tune in weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. and Wednesday from 9 to 10:30.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything
except your intelligence.
Coming up, Baldwin, Truth, and Social Justice.
According to James Baldwin, white Americans are in deep denial about black grievances
because they're clinging to self-justifying myths about their own virtue and benevolence.
So how do you get white people to face the truth about their racial past?
Baldwin, Truth, and Social Justice, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Listen to Philosophy Talk every Tuesday at noon on KSJE 90.9 FM, Farmington. San Juan Regional Medical Center is your community hospital, committed to making life better for the communities we are privileged to serve. In fact, better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. What matters most to our patients matters most to us. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so you can get the quality care you need right here at home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, celebrating life better here since 1910. Minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Monday, the first day of August, 2022. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air, of course, here in San Juan County, 103.3 FM over the air in Durango, Colorado, and streaming everywhere else on the planet from our website, ksje.com. Welcome also to our viewers who are watching this visual radio program. The program is streaming live this morning out to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. We're glad that you are with us this morning. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to get a wrap-up from the one and only Kirk Carpenter. Coach Carpenter will be here with a wrap-up of the Connie Mack World Series. Of course, the final game happened on Friday. Didn't force a game to happen on Saturday, but we'll hear all about the action coming up in the next few moments. And then we'll get to the main part of the program this morning, which is my San Juan College Public Speaking Honor students. They are here in the studio with me this morning as we wrap up our 8-week summer class to present their honor speeches for us. You'll be hearing from them. Three great topics, three great students coming up in the next few moments right here on KSJE. So stay tuned for that. Later on this hour, I'll be speaking with Lewis Campbell at 8:50 a.m. about technology. It's our Monday reboot segment that you hear every Monday at that hour on KSJE. So stay tuned for that. Next hour, it is our classical music program, Roving with the Arts. Mick Hess is back as host of the program, of course, after his well-deserved vacation during the month of July. So he'll be here today at 9:06 on KSJE. Don't forget, you can also connect with us on our Instagram page in addition to Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. And if you're a podcast person, you can subscribe for free to KSJE Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, places like iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Google Podcasts, Pandora, the list as the podcasts go on and on and on. So you can check them out as well. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it is a mostly sunny Monday morning. The temperature right now, 68 degrees. Humidity is 68%. We're expecting a partly sunny day today with a high near 90 degrees. There's a 20% chance of a scattered shower popping up throughout the region today. More chances for rain overnight tonight with a low of 65, then drier weather tomorrow with a high of 92 on Tuesday with plenty of sunshine, 64 overnight, then 93 in sunshine on Wednesday. Maybe some more scattered showers in the forecast for the latter part of the week, beginning on Thursday. Still highs, though, right around 90 degrees. Well, let's start, shall we, the program this morning by getting an update from, as I mentioned, the one and only Coach Kirk Carpenter. He's holding down our coverage of the Connie Mack World Series all week last week from Ricketts Park. And, of course, the big wrap-up on Friday. Let's find out about what happened and get the wrap-up from Coach Carpenter this morning on KSJE.
Welcome, fans. The last wrap-up of the Connie Mack World Series is the champion has been crowned. It was Championship Friday here on KSJE. Three games on tap for today. 14-5 was the first score. DBAT wins that ball game over Florida. But it sounds like a lopsided battle, but 14 scored in the sixth inning, and DBAT put on an offensive show to advance to the championship game. Again, the final score in game number 20, 14-5, as DBAT beat Florida, two powerhouse teams, but DBAT comes out on top. Then we went to the 3 o'clock game. The Colts and Nighthawks were looking to try to find a way to continue some of the magic that they have in the Connie Mack World Series, but they played the powerhouse, and that was the Midland Redskins. The Midland Redskins did what they've done throughout the tournament. They got guys on base, and as simple as it sounds, they put them on, moved them over, and put them across. They win this ball game by a score of 9-1, so they went into the championship game as the only undefeated team. That meant that it was a rematch between DBAT and Midland. Yesterday, these two teams squared off, and DBAT lost 4-2. Tonight, it was a great ball game. Midland took an early lead. DBAT would claw back into it. They would eventually take a lead, 5-4, only to see the Midland Redskins score four more runs later in the game, add one more, and they would eventually win this game 9-8. But it came down to the wire as DBAT had the tying run at third base with two outs, a 3-2 count, a ball hit to deep right center, a great play in right field ends this one. So Midland wins the Connie Mack World Series for the 17th time in Connie Mack World Series history, and they are the 2022 Connie Mack World Series champions. We hope you've enjoyed each and every recap, each and every game, and what we always like to say is thank you. Thank you to the many people that make this possible, but most importantly, thank you to you, the listener. So again, the final score, 9-8, Midland Redskins, they win the Connie Mack World Series for 2022. This has been a Connie Mack World Series wrap-up with Coach Carpenter, a recap from Ricketts Park.
Thank you, Coach, and thank you and all of the staff, of course, who were helping us throughout our coverage of the Connie Mack World Series all last week here on KSJE. And, of course, we'll be back next year with full coverage of all the games from Ricketts Park as part of our Connie Mack World Series coverage. So we thank you for listening and tuning in each and every game from Ricketts Park. Well, let's get to the business at hand, shall we? It is the wrap-up of the summer semester, 8 weeks long. Public speaking students, they have been dealing with me for eight long weeks, and this is their last assignment to present their honor speeches to us on KSJE. We have three students in the studio who are honor students this semester. So again, I want to welcome them to the KSJE studios this morning. They're ready to go. Nolan Redhouse is here. Rochelle Peters, Rihanna Lucero, there they are, and they are ready to go because they know this means that's their last assignment for me, and they're done with this class. So without any further ado, Nolan, you're up first. So we will start with you and your speech, and go ahead, start whenever you're ready, okay?
Thank you very much, Scott. Good morning, everyone. My name is Nolan Hunter Redhouse. I'm going to be giving you an informational speech about black holes. Okay, so I'm going to be going over three topics about black holes. What is a black hole, for one? All right. How does one even appear? And how does, like, after it appears, like, how long after until it goes away? I'm going to be talking about that. Alrighty. What is a black hole? Okay, so black holes are the most interesting objects in the universe. I think so, because they are so mysterious. Scientists could hardly even see them with telescopes. The only way you can actually detect one is through the black hole's radiation that actually affects the stars around it. If you were to look through like a regular telescope and look into like the dark night sky, you would be unable to go ahead and see it because it itself is also dark. It emits no light whatsoever except for what is around it. There are actually two common types about black holes. There is the stellar black hole, and there's a supermassive black hole. Alrighty, there are two parts that make up a black hole. There's going to be the event horizon. That's basically going to be the border around the black hole. Anything that passes through it, there's basically no return. And there's the singularity within it. It's infinitely small, and it's so dense that even light itself is being trapped inside there. You have to be moving faster than light in order to escape it, and we possibly cannot do it, and anything else besides light cannot even do it itself. So light itself is being sucked in. Everything is being sucked in, generally, when you pass that event horizon. And the great thing about the singularity is that there's no space, there's no time, and it, like, the laws of physics no longer exist in there. So whenever you go in there, we have no clue where you go. Nothing. Yeah, so that's very interesting to me, definitely. Alrighty, so how does one even appear in the first place? Well, actually, black holes come from the death of stars, and it kind of depends on the size of the star that kind of, like, depicts that. Alrighty, so because of stars and their gravitational pull and how much radiation they're emitting, there's so many molecules inside there that is being combined and busted up so many times, and within that lifetime period of the star, it basically eventually turns into iron, and iron is a non-energy source. So because of the iron sitting inside there, it does nothing, and it just keeps on building up. And because there is no balance between gravity and radiation, the radiation dies down, and the gravity becomes too strong to where it just cannot hold each other anymore. So what it does is that it implodes. All right, the star itself creates into a supernova that explodes, and it either turns into two things, depending on the size of the star. If the star is too small, then it turns into a neutron star, and if the star is too big, then eventually it will go ahead and turn into a black hole. Now, once a black hole is created, how long does it sit there? Well, actually, it sits there for millions of years. We have never even experienced a death of a black hole yet. And the best thing about the black hole is that because of the event horizon, molecules and atoms itself is being sucked in, okay? And space, empty space, is still filled up of atoms and molecules that are running into each other and creating energy. That's why we see gas. That's why we see a whole bunch of numerous things inside the universe that we're able to go ahead and detect through our telescope. And because of that event horizon, that border of the black hole, everything is being sucked in. So because, you know, everything's being sucked in, the black hole is not creating energy. So whatever energy it was given with in the beginning, eventually it just runs out of energy and it just dies. Just like a car battery. It has so much amount and it's not going to recharge, and eventually it will just die off. All right, and you can't change that battery. But because it's so long, we will never go ahead and experience one whatsoever. And yeah, I mean, it takes 100 million years in order for a black hole to die in the first place. So that's what I just thought that everyone should know, because black holes are so interesting. And I really love, you know, topics about space and everything like that.
Very good. All right, Nolan, thank you very much. That is Nolan Redhouse. He is one of my public speaking honors students, presenting his honors speech this morning for us here on KSJE. Let's go next to Rochelle Peters, who is ready with her honors speech. And so, Rochelle, once again, good morning, and you can start whenever you're ready.
All right. Hello, good morning. How many of you know what fried bread is? Or how many of you have ever even made fried bread? Or maybe just eaten them? If you have, then you should know it tastes delicious and takes a while to make. Today, I will be informing you about fried bread, the golden fried circle. If you have been eating fried bread for many of years or making it, then you should know what to expect when seeing one or ordering one. I actually been making fried bread since I was a little girl. Because it's a part of my cultural traditions, being a Native American, a part of Diné, I mostly consume it with beans, pozole soup, mutton stew, Navajo burger, and Navajo tacos. The taste is delicious and matches well with spam, potatoes, and green chili. Today, I will first discuss the discovery of fried bread. Then I will talk about the early applications of fried bread. Lastly, the culture significance of fried bread. Did you know fried bread was first developed in 1864, about 158 years ago? The creation of fried bread was actually a tragic story for Native Americans that has to be forced to walk a 300-mile journey to relocate to New Mexico from Arizona. And some of you probably know about the journey known as the Long Walk, but without the Long Walk, fry bread could not have been discovered. Although Native Americans back then needed to survive using what they could get use out of the U.S. government food supplies. This switch of unhealthy commodity foods was not the way of life of fresh vegetables, fruits, and lean meat like bison. The natives were used to, but to survive, the Indians had no other choice rather to consume this unhealthy food to prevent more of their people from dying. According to the Smithsonian Magazine, Jen Miller, to prevent the indigenous population from starving, the government gave them canned goods as well as white flour, processed sugar, and lard, the making of fry bread. Now you know how old fry bread is and its tragic story behind the creation, let's continue moving forward. What is fry bread made of? According to Rafael Tapia from the American Indian blog, fry bread is typically made out of white flour mixed with water, baking powder, or yeast with a sprinkle of salt, which is then deep fried in oil or lard. Fry bread looks and smells delicious, but is very unhealthy. A fry bread that is big as a paper plate can carry about 700 calories, which is 25 grams of fat. Knowing about the unhealthy issues with fry bread, it is also one of the main causes of diabetes around the Navajo Nation. Fry bread was also a food to be served in boarding schools to Native children as part of their meals, and to this day it is still being served. Now you know the early applications of fry bread, let's continue to move forward about fry bread's cultural significance. Fry bread is common among the Navajo Nation and many other tribes. In the U.S., who consumes and makes fry bread is something that is taught by a great-great-grandmother. In the Navajo traditional culture, fry bread is sacred to not only from its tragic past, but its teachings and lessons within the bread. Before Navajos get married or approve to date another Navajo, the woman would have to make fry bread for the man's family, the test of a lifetime with the man they want to be with forever. But everyone has their own teachings from their own mothers and grandmothers. The recipe and shape of size is determined by tribe, teachings, cultures, and techniques. Each is different, but all have the same meaning of giving life, food, and love through fry bread. According to the New York Times by Mallard Noble, flour, salt, baking powder, and oil are the basic ingredients of fry bread recipes. But the shape, taste, and color vary by region, tribe, and family. In conclusion, fry bread's discovery to its early applications and culture significance all have meaning in the Native American culture. Without this gift of fry bread from our ancestors, the world we live in now would not know our pain, survival, and love that connected to this fried golden circle we all know and love as fry bread. Ms. McMullen Sartis states, we need to honor the truth and pain of what was there, but also to hear of who created the fry bread. This is beauty and pain next to each other. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for that delicious speech. Hold on, there it is. You brought some with you.
Yes.
Perfect.
Can I have a piece?
Yeah.
Maybe after the show. How's that? Very good. Rochelle, thank you very much. And last but certainly not least, Rhianna Lucero is here with her honor speech. And so, Rhianna, we're ready for you whenever you're ready for us.
Good morning. I'm going to go ahead and jump right into it. Have you ever experienced things looking too small or too large? Sounds being muted or too loud? Things looking blurry or as if being in a dream or looking through a fog? Everything around you seems artificial, lifeless, dead, or like feeling you're watching yourself from the outside of yourself. Have you felt like you were no one or have no self? Like your head is filled with cotton wool? Or as though there's a glass wall between yourself and the world around you? What about feeling like your thoughts are not your own? Have you ever said, either in your mind or out loud, I know I have feelings, but I don't feel them? If so, you may have experienced or have in the past experienced psychological conditions known as depersonalization or derealization disorder. The symptoms of these disorders, which I just described, are very common, with half of the population experiencing them at one time or multiple times during their life. But the only 2% meet the full criteria for this full diagnosis. What are these conditions? What causes them, and what can we do when they become too much for us to handle? Today, I would like to take the time to inform you all about depersonalization or derealization disorder and briefly cover the suspected causes and the current treatments available that I have discovered across the portion of the past 2 weeks on researching these topics. What is depersonalization or derealization disorder? They are both two of the dissociative disorders recognized by the psychologists and the DSM-5 and are often grouped together in classification. The DSM-5 is a manual for assistance and diagnosis of mental disorders, the fifth edition. There are five criteria listed in the DSM-5 that must be met to reach the full diagnosis of these disorders. Let me define both terms as they are separate but are classified together and can be experienced at the same time. Depersonalization disorder. Experiences of unreality, detachment, or being outside of yourself. Observing your feelings, thoughts, and sensations from, again, outside yourself. For example, perceptual alterations, distorted senses of time, unreal or absent self, emotional or physical numbing. Derealization, experiences of unreality or detachment with respect to surroundings. For example, individuals or objects are experienced as unreal, dreamlike, foggy, or lifeless and visually distorted. I hope you can clearly see why they are grouped together and can even overlap. However, depersonalization leans more towards the self being disassociated, while derealization disorder is more towards life being experienced as false or fictional. The diagnosis criteria listed A through E. A, the presence of or persistence or reoccurring experiences of depersonalization or derealization disorder, or both. B, during the derealization or depersonalization experiences, reality testing remains intact, which basically means you can still tell that there's a difference between reality and what you're seeing. The symptoms cause clinically significant distress or impairment in social, occupational, or other important functioning areas. Disturbances are not attributed to psychological effects or substance or medications. Or the disturbances, or E, the disturbances is better not explained by another mental disorder, such as schizophrenia or panic disorder, major depressive, PTSD, or another dissociative disorder. With the criteria for these disorders, one can imagine why these disorders, the diagnoses are rare, with only 2% of the population believed to have experienced the full diagnosis, while half of the population experiences the symptoms. Now that we have an in-depth understanding about the disorders, let me move on to the subject causes and treatments available if the disorder becomes problematic. With any psychological condition, there are no definite causal factors, but there are suspected causes and risk factors. Many psychologists believe certain personality traits, severe trauma, severe stress, depression or anxiety, the use of recreational drugs, prescribed medication, and even genetic factors may lead to or trigger these conditions. Much of my research points towards childhood abuse or trauma being a common factor between individuals who suffer from these conditions. Sources such as the MayoClinic.org or the NAMI or National Alliance of Mental Health.org can collaborate these findings. They can also lead to treatment options if an individual is in need because these conditions have taken a toll on their lives. When these conditions take full effect on someone, the main courses of treatment is psychotherapy such as cognitive behavioral or dialectical behavioral therapies, and in some cases medications may be paired. Treatment options vary and rarely are necessary when symptoms arrive. So don't freak yourself out if you start to experience or develop symptoms, unless of course they become problematic. This was solely to inform you all about these conditions. Now I feel it is time to wrap it up. After listening to me ramble, I hope everyone walks away with the understanding of what derealization or depersonalization disorder is, what the symptoms are, what the suspected cause is, and a rough idea on treatments available. And just because you experience some of these symptoms from time to time does not necessarily mean that you have these disorders, because again, they are very rare, and only about 2% of the population does actually fully experience these conditions. The only time treatment is necessary is if they become too much for you to bear.
Very good.
And thank you guys for listening.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And that is all of my honors students from the summer semester. Here they are. So congratulations to all of you. Great job, all three of you. So thank you for coming in. You are now done with the class.
Not yet. I'm done with the class, but I'm not done with school.
No, you're done with school. Sorry, you're done with me. You're done with me.
Got one more year left.
Okay, good luck to you. Thank you all very, very much. Congratulations. You all did a great job this morning. Appreciate you being here on a Monday morning. So thank you. My honor students from public speaking here at San Juan College joining me this morning here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.